You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Sam Davidson, our producer and engineer for the day. It is Monday, May 5th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along. Hour number two of the broadcast. It is now 3:06. Welcome in, everybody. Zahmer is on the DL list still. And Sam, great to have you along. We appreciate you. Get up early in the morning at the crack of dawn and are producing the John and Gordy Show from 6 until 8, and then you go down and you cook breakfast at the local bar and grill here on State Street, and now you can, now you've come back to do our show. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah, glad to be here. It's
always,
fun show.
Always a fun pleasure. Well, once again, it's pretty quiet right now. I like doing this when he's here. He created the Sam Davidson Street Cam looking down on State Street now in Fairchild. Look at that skyline. You've got the beautiful all-glass Overture Center on the right and rectangular brick building there on the left. It's a little slow today. Now, this is like graduation week at UW. You, Sam Davidson, as a Badger alum now, do you remember what it was like last year during this time when you graduated?
Well, it was 2 years ago
is
for
it
me.
2 years already?
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
It's been a while.
Exciting though, right?
Exciting, yeah. I mean, I was very glad to be done with school.
Yes.
But I mean, look at me here again doing online school again now.
Now you're going back for a master's in education.
It's crazy.
But I always feel a little nostalgic. It's spring. You see all the grads walking in their
gowns, taking pictures. Yeah.
The black and red stoles, cardinal red stoles. And there's always hope and excitement. But as someone who lives in Madison, I get a little a tinge of sadness because the city changes its vibe over the summer when you don't have all those young people in town to meet.
I think you're the first person who's ever told me that they're sad about the students leaving.
Really?
Usually people are happy about that because there's no more traffic downtown.
I don't know.
But I see where you're coming from.
I like the youthful vibe. I just think you got university sports, obviously, but it's just you're walking around and I don't know. There's a certain energy in a college town, and when the college students aren't here, then you kind of miss that. At least I do. But then in October, in August, it's like the Swallows returning to Capistrano. Everybody comes back. For another,
the return migration.
The return migration, that's right. Well, Sam, great to have you along. We're going to do what's worse here in a second. Oh, many thanks to Jack Kelly from WisconsinWatch.org. You can always see all their publications at WisconsinWatch.org. Our old Luke Mathers checking in. Apparently he's listening to the show. And he himself, a Badger alum. Madison is better in the summer, and that's coming from a Badger. And he called me a grumpy old man before the show. Now, I don't want to put up with the kids and the traffic and going around. See, I appreciate the youth. And Luke now, he's right on the cusp. Well, not really. He's still youth.
Well, to me, he's an old man.
Wow.
Watch him come storming in
right
here now.
Well, you're on your way out of here, so what do you care?
You're exactly.
But to me, he's still very, very young. Only 30. So, I mean, that's young to me. But to you, I suppose, just a young buck.
I think I'm still the youngest employee at, well, for a couple more weeks, the youngest employee.
For a couple more weeks. Yes, for a couple more weeks.
Luke says, ouch.
Mather says, ouch. I still think you're young and youthful. And he's got a brand new haircut. He looks fantastic. I'm still going to be here for a while.
Yeah, you got to get on his nice side. Yeah.
All right. We got what's worse coming up. And also, now this is making a lot of news here today, Sam. Let's get into this. The Trumpster, tweets are just easy. You say tweet. Whatever his social media platform is, Truth Social. You can't say socialed out.
He truthed.
But it rarely is. So exactly. That's why I don't like to say that. This is actual from the Trumpster, I believe last night or early this morning. Quote, the movie industry in America is dying. All capitals, dying. A very fast death. Other countries are offering all sorts of incentives to draw our filmmakers and studios away from the United States. Hollywood and many other areas within the USA are being devastated. This is a concerted effort by the nations, or by other nations, he put nations in capital, other nations, and therefore a national security threat. Really? There's a national security threat? Trump says it is, in addition to everything else, messaging and propaganda. Therefore, I'm authorizing the Department of Commerce of the United States Trade Representative to immediately begin and process the instituting of a 100% tariff on any and all movies coming into our country that are produced in foreign lands. And then all in caps, we want movies made in America again! Exclamation point. So now he's on to the movies. He wants to 100% tariff on any movie that is not shot and made in the United States of America. So lots of news on this already today. Great story at WPR, WisconsinPublicRadio.org. Headline, Wisconsin proposal calls for creation of state film office tax incentives for film production. Wisconsin now only one of four states with no dedicated film office. So now Democratic Governor Tony Evers, apparently in his new state budget, is saying, hey, let's have a film office. But I, being the resident old person here at Civic Media, I'm old enough to remember when Wisconsin did have a film office. And it, quite frankly, it took a little bit of work. But I found an article. This is from December 4, 2009, in the Isthmus, entitled Madison in the Movies, Behind the Scenes. And now there's a place called Milwaukee Production Rental. Has a great blog here. Let me get the guy's name and credit him for this great blog he wrote. John Klein, not my friend Jonathan Klein, but another John Klein, says Wisconsin film and tax incentives. I'm old enough to remember when Wisconsin had a film office. It was the brainchild, hang on to your hats, of former Republican Governor Tommy George Thompson, who said, ladies and gentlemen, we need more films here. He created a film office. And it was closed in 2005, because the Republican legislature didn't keep funding it. Now, in 2005, if memory serves, I believe Jim Doyle was governor then, but the Republican Democrat. But the Republican legislature did not want to keep funding it. And then it was kind of brought back for a while. But guess what Republican governor killed it? Scotty Walker. Scotty Walker, Republican, killed the second iteration of the film office in Wisconsin. So again, if you want to go back to the olden days, back to the 90s and 2000s, the guy who was really forward-thinking and put this into action in Wisconsin was Tommy Thompson. And then it was subsequent iterations of his own party, the Republicans, who killed this off. And now here we have Republican MAGA Donald Trump saying, well, we're going to put tariffs on these film companies, these films, if they're not shot in the United States of America. And God bless Governor Evers for trying to bring it back now, but just wait and see. Wait and see what Robin Voss and the Republicans in the legislature, are they going to fund this? Or are they going to say, oh, no, these are movies that, are about Front Row Amy or whatever they're going to say. You know, they're going to find some cultural thing why they, movies are bad for kids, wrong messaging, right? And by the way, a friend of mine brought this up. They're going to throw more of this DEI stuff out there. You know, we movies are all about DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. This is a great factoid because it's the Republican Party of Wisconsin right now who has a bigger staff than when I used to be back in the party, you know, years ago, bigger staff than they ever had before. And they now have dedicated field offices and staff in Milwaukee and other urban places specifically for recruiting Black voters and Latino voters. So a party that says, no, we shouldn't be doing things to be inclusionary or DEI, they want to be against that. Guess what the Wisconsin Republican Party is doing? Look, you MAGA folks, you better call up Brian Schimming and you better get rid of that, because I don't know why they're having state offices to recruit Black and Hispanic folks when they're supposedly against DEI. You see the hypocrisy of it? It's goofy. So anyway, we got off the subject a little bit here, but this film office now, we should be doing things, to tax incentives and otherwise, to bring filmmakers here. But to have 100% tariff like Trump wants to do, that's just back crap crazy. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Go to the phone lines, Mark and Pertisac. Mark, what do you have, sir?
I think the word you're looking for is asinine, is what that is. And I mean, I watch the movies and you watch the credits, because for a lot of the movies that I watch, you want to see what the kind of little thing they have, the little vignette they have at the very tail end of the credits, or mixed in with the credits. But I mean, you watch those and you see, you know, Georgia and Ontario and Australia and Louisiana and the whole gamut of that. Some of these movies, you know, there's international flavor to many of these movies. I mean, you know, British Columbia and Ontario and I think one I just saw, you know, had Australia or parts, you know, someplace in Africa that, you know, you go to the location you want to have, you know, the thing, or but the whole Lord of the Rings thing, I think they filmed most of that in New Zealand. I mean,
they could have filmed that in the Baraboo Bluffs.
Oh,
Lacrosse.
It is just.
I'm kidding. You
know. Yeah, I know. It's just beyond me that Trump is. Nobody is telling Donald Trump no.
Right.
I mean, the man who does not understand that he actually took an oath to uphold the Constitution.
Right.
If any other man had said something like that, or man or woman had said something like that, they'd be looking to impeach the person immediately.
I think Trump's salty over the Trump movie, right? That made him not look so good this year. I think that's what part of it is. Really, I'm not kidding. But why I got you on the phone, Mark, can you name some of the famous movies that have been shot in Wisconsin? Can you name it? From a while back.
Oh, God, I couldn't.
Here's one of my favorite. I remember when this happened. 1994, long before Sam was a twinkle in his parents' eyes. I Love Trouble. A big Julia Roberts movie.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw that movie.
Nolte was in it as well. It was filmed in Devil's Lake. Lots of the footage shot in Devil's Lake. So
yeah, and I think just to the west of us, I think the movie Sweetland. Well, I think that was filmed in Minnesota or North Dakota. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but that's a wonderful movie.
All right. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the call. Sure. Thank you so much. I'm up against the clock here. If you want to weigh in on movies in Wisconsin, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Chain Reaction, 1996. The Deep End of the Ocean, 1999. Public Enemies, 2009. All films shot in Wisconsin because Tommy Thompson had a Wisconsin film office. Now Governor Evers wants to bring it back. What's Worse is next. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between. Hello, Wisconsin. It's another Monday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2025, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Allball, along with Sam Davidson, who is pinch hitting for Aaron Zomers, who remains on the 15-day disabled list. No, not 15. We hope not. Sam hopes not 15 days. But we appreciate you being here, Sam. Before what's worse here, finishing up the subject we were talking about, Governor Evers wants to bring back a Wisconsin film office in this state budget. Tommy Thompson had one in the 90s and 2000s. We were going through some of the films that have been shot here. This all is coming back to light because Donald Trump now, Truth Socialing out on his social media, saying he wants a 100% tariff on movies that are not filmed in the United States. Well, of course, you might want to have incentives for filmmakers to make films in the United States. And to Mark's point earlier, pretty tough to shoot some of these movies, you know, in the right place in the United States. Anyway, off the text line here, people texting in, we appreciate that. Wisconsin movies that were shot in Wisconsin or movies shot in Wisconsin. Allie, listening in Madison on WMDX, says The Lake House, the movie The Lake House. Never saw that one. We should have Pete Schwabe on. See, he would know all these things. What else we have here? Rhonda in Madison on MDX says Back to School, the Rodney Dangerfield movie. After school, PBS shows after school specialty drink. Hawker Smokes Match with Scott Baio? There was a movie called Hawker Smokes Match with Scott Baio? Who, of course, now is a big Trumpster guy. What happened to him? This is long before your time, Sam, but Scott Baio was in Happy Days, and they had a spinoff called Joni Loves Chachi, and he was a big heartthrob back in the day, and now he's just gone wackadoodles. Kurt in Madison on WMDX says the movie Animal House Toga Party. In the United States, the University of Wisconsin-Madison held a large toga party in 1978, drawing around 10,000 students. He says, I was there. Really? That's what inspired Animal House, Kurt? I did not know that. Now, Sam, you said during the break you just went to your first toga party.
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
That's incredible.
One of my friends, his birthday party, he said, wear a toga, so I did.
Very freeing, the Romans.
I gotta agree.
Right? Exactly. It's that time of year. Spring is here. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. David calling in. David, we appreciate you listening to the show. What have you got for us, David?
Well, two movies that were made in Milwaukee, Major League.
Yes.
And one called Gailey Gailey.
What was the second one?
Gailey Gailey.
Ooh, I'm not sure if I saw that one. I've maybe kind of heard of it. Remember who was in it or not?
I don't remember. I know that Milwaukee was standing in for Chicago because Milwaukee currently looked a lot like Chicago in the old days.
In the old days. Yeah, well, that's a good point. Appreciate the call. Yeah, David, thank you very much. Thanks for your listenership. Yeah, how could I have forgotten Major League, filmed at the old County Stadium? And that was supposed to be the Cleveland, at the time, Indians ballpark. And so, of course, the late, great Bob Uecker played Harry Doyle, the announcer in that, at County Stadium. I remember when that was shot, the first edition of Major League. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Racine and Sharky. Listening to Racine. Sharky, thanks for listening. What do you have?
Thank you. 1990, I was hired for ABC Films, and Mark Harmon and Sherilyn Finn was Dillinger.
Really?
Oh, yes. And I actually even got a spot. They were so nice. It helps to have a cousin on the board on that one.
So
I have to tell you that I'm, you know, you got the other one with Johnny Depp.
Yes.
I still can say in my heart that Mr. Dillinger in my movie was a lot more probable as being a fine Dillinger individual, because the other guy, Depp, belongs on a ship, you know?
Right.
Pirate ship.
So
yeah,
right.
That was really cool.
Awesome. Thanks, Sharky. I appreciate the call. That's fantastic. Yeah, the Public Enemies 2009 says here, this story from the Isthmus, after his local shoots, Johnny Depp made a habit of interacting with the crowd. Waiting outside, he signed autographs and posed for pictures, driving the fans wild. Director Michael Mann made a strong impression on local extras. says he's a very thorough director, said Michael Burrowed. Nobody messes with what he wants. He knows exactly what he wants and how he wants to do it. Kind of skipping down a little bit. During the shoot at the Capitol, I remember when this happened, actually. I was working at the Capitol at the time. Extras were assembled in the old industrial lot on East Washington Avenue, and the production base camp, including Mann's trailer, was in the parking lot between Reynolds Field and Das Kronberg. The local cast of the movie did a lot of waiting around. It was absolutely boring as hell, said one of the people. They just put us in a waiting room. I was literally there for 10 hours before they needed us. The headquarters for the local shoot was at the Sheraton out by the Coliseum on John Nolan. That's where wardrobe fittings were done for some of the extras. Talent, Johnny Depp, stayed right across the street, Sam, at the concourse. How about that? Executive producer Robert De Niro showed up in Wisconsin to check out the shoot as well. So there you go. A little bit of a hitherto unknown facts on the old Wisconsin film office in Wisconsin. But again, Trump shooting his mouth off or his social media stuff off about trying to put 100% tariffs on this. As if the poor people out in Hollywood have just got through the big fires out there. As if they don't have enough going on to hurt the industry. And now you got this kind of Yahoo mess going on. But again, it's going to be very interesting to see whether Governor Evers trying now to bring back the film office, 100% agree with that, by the way, whether the Republicans in the legislature are going to go along with it. We shall see. We're going to take a quick break here, a little news, weather, and sports update. I get paid to talk for a living. An update for you. Pam Yonke going to check in from Midwest Farm Report. The fabulous farm babe with an agricultural update. Then we'll come back and do a little what's worse for you on this Monday, Cinco de Mayo. 855-752-4842. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show with Sam after this. Network. It is 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. That is from the Blues Brothers movies. How about that? A little Dan Aykroyd for you and John Belushi.
When I was a kid, Blues Brothers was one of my most favorite movies.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I love that
movie. Oh, my gosh. Sam Davidson in for Zomers. We appreciate him. Thanks for dialing that up so quick. I wanted to play that because we were talking about movies that were shot in Wisconsin. And that's one of the many reasons I love doing this show, our great listeners. Greg, listening on WAUK and Genesee Depot, says the Blues Brothers, when they shot in Milwaukee and the freeway wasn't done yet, the two Nazis that were chasing them in the movie ran off the top of the freeway. I got to laugh every time I see that scene. I did not know that was shot in Milwaukee. That's fantastic. But it is just a classic movie, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, all the musicians that got in that movie, too.
Right?
Yeah.
It's an incredible, incredible film. So thank you. Appreciate that, Greg. Some of the insight there on that. let's see. A quick minute of, or not even a minute, but just a quick breaking news story. This is important, so I want to make sure we get this in. According to the Associated Press at this hour, says U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has ordered senior Pentagon leadership to cut the number of four-star generals and admirals by at least 20% across the military, according to a memo signed by Hegseth, dated today and obtained by CNN. A defense official confirmed the memo's authenticity. As of 2023, there were only 37 four-star generals and admirals across the entire military. The memo also directs the Pentagon to cut the number of general officers in the National Guard by 20% and to cut the number of general and flag officers across the country in the military by 10%. Disturbing if you know anything about, and again, I never served, but I had the honor of doing military affairs where I worked for a member of Congress. Other people will talk about this on subsequent shows, but to me, what this says, it's very, very dangerous, because what Trump is doing here is trying to cut the number of career military leaders that know what the military is about, like former four-star General Chief, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Milley, who in his outgoing speech, of course, said, look, we don't serve a person. We serve the Constitution of the United States. And you've seen this in other authoritarian governments, other dictatorships, when you get rid of the military officials who know how military is supposed to properly work and install yes men. People will simply swear their allegiance to a leader. So I think this is really, really dangerous. I think it's beyond unfortunate, because as we've had generals on this show from the Wisconsin National Guard, these are career men and women who swear an allegiance to the Constitution. Again, 37 people. Think of the national budget. 37 people. So you're going to cut that by 20%? You think there's a lot of savings there in terms of money? No. It's all about getting rid of the people who really are going to... What it's doing is you're getting rid of the people like Trump had happen in his first administration when he wanted to have the military shoot the George Floyd protesters in the knees. And the military people had to come and say, Don, they didn't call him Don, but, you know, Mr. President, you can't do that. Which, of course, seems rudimentary, but that's what Trump wanted to do. And so if you get rid of the people around you who say you can't do that, all that's left are people that will say, yes, Mr. President. And that's where we start getting into a really, really slippery slope. Coming up on 20 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I'm still getting used to the time. I apologize. All right, time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Yes. The choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money to give away, nothing to claim except your opportunity. And really, you can't put a price on this. Your opportunity to have your voice heard across all 11 news talk sports stations on the Civic Media Radio Network statewide. No better place to have your product, your business advertised than right here on Civic Media's Radio Network. I mean, well, I guess she doesn't need it, but I guess, can you imagine what we could do for Front Row Amy on this network? The ads we could do for her, they'd be fantastic. It'd be blockbuster.
Well, I mean, there's clearly people who like need to hear about her still. Right. I didn't know about her.
I can't believe you didn't know about her, because you're a man who knows the world.
sure, Todd.
But you didn't know about her. But see, that's a great point. If she would buy ads on Civic Media, more people would know. We're here to help. You understand? That's right. We're here to help. All right. Timely indeed, because, yes, last week of finals, I believe. No, maybe last week of classes and then finals. How does that work?
At UW, yeah. Graduation's this coming weekend. So I guess this is the rest of finals.
This is it. Mm-hmm. So lots of people trying to stay awake. Lots of people studying, cramming. So we asked the question here now in today's category, what's worse? Monster or Red Bull? What's worse, Monster or Red Bull? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, Monster or Red Bull? Sam, you said you have neither. You've had neither, right?
I've had neither straight. I guess I've had Red Bull mixed with other things.
I haven't had a lot straight either, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, No, I've tried Red Bull. I've not tried Monster that I know of. But I've never been a big energy. I just drink coffee.
Yeah, me too.
And so that's all the caffeine I need.
Don't even drink soda that much.
Really? I've tried to cut down. What's worse, Monster or Red Bull? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. Let's go down to beautiful Oregon and Gordy calling in. Gordy, always appreciate your call. What say you, my friend?
Well, the man who's gone through many addictions throughout my life, I would say Red Bull is my favorite, although I had to give it up 6 months ago because I was having this neuropathy thing and I was trying to eliminate things from my diet that might be attributing to that.
Yeah.
And after, 6 or 7 months, I finally realized my neuropathy wasn't getting better. So I had a Red Bull the other day and it was like going out with an old sweetheart you hadn't seen for quite a while.
It's like going out with Front Row Amy. It gives you a whole new energy.
There you go. One of the things that I do when I travel around the world is I take unique photos of my Red Bull can. And
really?
So when you come out to do your little flower interview
here
at the end of May, remind me to show you my album of what I call Red Bull Shots.
I cannot wait.
I think I should make a coffee table book out of the very interesting backgrounds that I've done with the Red Bull can.
That is super cool, Gordy. I can't wait. Now Gordy, Kopke's Greenhouse, they got the business down in Oregon. They advertise with us. We're so appreciative of that, Gordy. You're also right on the farmer's market on Saturday mornings here in Dane County, right?
Yeah, this is my 45th year up there.
Wow.
So you can find me on the corner of East Wash and Pinckney. They're bright and early. Got to be in my stall by 6 o'clock. So come and see me.
Well, my question. Do you have a Red Bull before the farmer's market?
No, but I have one in my cooler that I have about 10 o'clock so I can make it through the rest of the morning.
I love it. Thanks, Gordy. I appreciate you. Have a great day down there.
Gordy, okay, thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure. Gordy Kopke. Great folks. We're going to do a show down there later on in May because not only do they have everything you need for your lawn and garden and flowers and vegetables, and they're the top quality. I buy it for myself and buy some for mom too, but they do this great fundraiser on Memorial Day weekend where these beautiful planters. And there's all kinds of, at least 50, 60 of them, maybe more. And you go down and they have an auction and all the proceeds from these planters go to the Wisconsin Badger Honor Flight to fund our veterans going out to Washington, D.C. So it's just a really, really great cause. And then we'll have more on that later on this month down at Kopke's Greenhouse. What's worse, Monster or Red Bull? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. John, listening on WISS in Oshkosh, says both are bad. That stuff will kill you. Megan in Sun Prairie, listening on WMDX, energy drinks in general are bad. Tried Monster once and couldn't even finish it. Never tried a Red Bull. I'll stick to soda. Thanks. I don't blame you there. Again, that's all I need. I have a Coke if I need it or the, some coffee. But I don't know. I see these people just chugging Red Bulls left and right or Monster drinks. I think it can't be good for you, right?
Well, I'm sure. But, I mean, based on nothing at all,
right.
Having never really tasted either of them, I think Red Bull's just cooler because Red Bull, sponsors a bunch of cool events.
Great point.
Like, think of skydiving and,
yes.
Red Bull Flugtag, the day of flight where people build planes and see who can fly them the farthest.
Yes.
I got to say Red Bull wins in my book just for that.
Now, you bring up a great point, Sam. So much of it is marketing, right?
That's true.
And so you almost equate, when you say Red Bull, what you just said is more of a lifestyle, right? A daredevil, take risks, go out, live life, take it on.
The Red Bull lifestyle.
The Red Bull lifestyle. When I think of Monster, I guess maybe I think of skateboarders or I think because isn't Monster offshoot of PepsiCo and that whole thing? Or am I getting that confused with Mountain Dew? It kind of looks similar. I don't know. I think of Monster as a slightly younger demo with snowboarding and skateboarding. I don't know why I think that.
That's maybe accurate. I suppose I think that too.
Roger listening in Stevens Point, beautiful Stevens Point, says neither. They both taste bad. All right. Well, like I say, I never tried Monster, so I can't tell you. What's worse? That's our category today, Monster or Red Bull. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Feel free to text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android device. If you don't have it, what the heck's wrong with you? No, I'm just kidding. You can get it for free. Won't cost you a dime. Go to your Apple or Android device. Go to your app store. Now, on Apple, it looks like a letter A made with popsicle sticks. I don't know what it looks like on the Android device. But you go to that, and you go to your search bar. You type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, media. It'll pop up. You click on it. It takes less than a minute. It's free. Won't cost you a dime. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal. The Civic Media app, download it today. What's worse, Monster or Red Bull? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Come back, out of caller on hold. We'll take their call in just a minute. I'll reveal what I think is worse in my book. And finish up the show. It's another Monday edition. It's Cinco de Mayo here at the Civic Media Radio Network across Wisconsin. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
The Tom Arbuckle Show on Civic Media. It is now 8 before the hour of 4 o'clock, the top of the hour. ABC and CBS News, whichever one of the stations you are listening to is, that will determine which of the network broadcasts you get. Weather update by our great award-winning meteorology team, Brittany Merlot and everyone else. Winning those great awards at WBA, Wisconsin Broadcasters Association this weekend. Mike Clemens, our award-winning sports reporter. And then, hold on to your hats and hallelujahs, voted by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association as the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin, large market, the Maggie Dawn Show, coming up from 4 until 6, followed by our own Pete Schwabba from 6 until 8, and then it is Rick Smith and Native Roots Radio to get you into the rest of the evening. It is now, as we say, coming up now on 7 before the hour, and Sam and I were talking right before the, or during the break there, what's worse question right now, what's worse, Monster or Red Bull? And you brought up a great point, Sam. I want you to explain this, because this is fantastic.
Well, so I said that energy drinks aren't exactly what they used to be. Like, it used to be kind of, I don't know, the rough and tough crowd who needed an energy drink, right, and then you'd have one. Now they sort of gentrified energy drinks. Because think of like a bubbler. A bubbler is sort of an energy drink, but it's not what you think of when you think of a Monster or a Red Bull or something like that.
It's become fruity tooty kind of, you know. Yeah. Gentrified is the perfect word. It's not just for thrilled seekers and daredevils anymore. It's not just for frat houses and togas.
Exactly.
Now we have energy drinks for everybody. I did not know bubbler was an energy drink.
It's borderline an energy drink.
It's a Mickey. It's a Mickey. Yeah. And by the way, it's the second time I've used that term on the one show today. I'm not sure why I've got that in my mind. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Mona on the phone. Mona, what do you have for us?
Well, this is kind of funny, but he thinks he's gone full circle. But back in my day, in the dark ages, there were no energy drinks. We got by. We didn't need sleep. We could do all-nighters. Kids today are just wimps. They don't know what it was like to pull all-nighters, type stuff on a manual typewriter.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
And, you know, I didn't even have a refrigerator to keep a cold Coke. I would brew tea in my room, have hot tea, and just either get a good night's sleep or just stay up all night. And I graduated magna cum laude, so.
Congratulations. You know. Where'd you graduate from?
University of Arizona.
Well, fantastic. A Wildcat. That's great.
You bet. Wildcats, yep. Well, down.
Well done. Well done, Mona. That's a great call to end the show on today. I mean, you know, she's absolutely right. She's absolutely right. You know, back in my day, they just told us to go out and lick on salt licks. And we liked it that way. Absolutely, absolutely great call. We appreciate it, Mona. Well, that's great. That's really good stuff. Let's see here, Sam. Do we have time? Let's start to get into this because Sam helped me do the, not helped. He did edit the clip here. I want to start talking about this today. We'll pick up on it tomorrow. Tim Miller, who has been part of Positive America. Now he's host of the Bulwark podcast. He's on MSNBC a lot. He brought up something that happened here a couple, 3 days ago. If you haven't heard about it, you need to know about this. It is Trump cryptocurrency. I'm not making this up. Let's start this and play just a little bit of Tim Miller's example or reporting on what happened.
The Trump crypto corruption is now off the charts. What is happening with Trump's crypto coin is something in history that would be only akin to what would happen in tin pot dictatorships. Like, we have a Gaddafi level scheme happening right now in this country under our nose. And I want to point you to this most recent story from the UAE, which is well reported by the New York Times. Sitting in front of a packed auditorium in Dubai, a founder of the Trump family cryptocurrency business made a brief but monumental announcement. A fund backed by Abu Dhabi would be making a $2 billion business deal using the Trump firm's digital coins. That transaction would be a major contribution by a foreign government to President Trump's private venture, one that stands to generate hundreds of millions of dollars for the Trump family. That man that was on stage, Zach Witkoff, son of Steve Witkoff. So our chief negotiator in the Russia-Ukraine war, if you want to call it that, I mean, maybe the chief advocate for Russia at the negotiation table in the Russia-Ukraine war, Steve Witkoff. His son is a business partner with the president that appointed him. And that family business, the Witkoffs and the Trumps, managed to shake down the UAE for for hundreds of millions. Like, they get a processing fee. You guys get a little taste off of this deal that is done using their coin. Why would they use a Trump coin? Like, let's just think about this for a second. Who wants to do a $2 billion transaction with the Trump coin? Like, the only rationale for doing a $2 billion deal with Trump coin is because you want to bribe Donald Trump. You want to bribe the president of the United States. That's it. It's the only possible rationale. There's no logical rationale for it. It makes no sense in any other context.
That's Steve Miller on the Bulwark podcast. Or Steve Miller. Tim Miller, pardon me. Well, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. That's a little teaser for tomorrow. Senators Elizabeth Warren and Chris Murphy have called it the biggest corruption scandal in U.S. presidential history, citing the involvement of foreign governments and potential conflicts of interest as the Senate considers what's going on. We'll talk about more about this tomorrow. But the Trump family profiting $2 billion. Nothing shady about that, right? Saudis, other people. Anyway, that's a little tease for tomorrow. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Sam Davidson, you're a trooper. You're fantastic. Thank you. I appreciate you so very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Always great to have you here. Zombers feel better. We'll be back here tomorrow. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day, everybody. Banging on, and your day will come. Keep banging on, banging on your drum.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.